This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
G'day and welcome to the Glow Show podcast. My name's Dee Mason and I'm joined by leading Senior Constable Gabrielle Tyack from Victoria Police. Welcome, Gabby.
Thanks, Dee. It's always great to have you.
Thank you. Hey, now you're the LGBTI liaison for Victoria Police.
Yes, I am.
And this is your show, obviously. Who have you brought in for us?
It's the Glow's show.
It is the Glow's.
Not my show.
That's right. And today we're talking all about recruitment for Victoria Police and you've got a couple of guests in. Who have you brought in with?
Yeah, I've got Detective Sergeant Chris Hamilton, and it's been made very clear it's Chris with a K.
Certainly is.
That's hyphenated, Chris with a K Hamilton. Yep.
And Chris, where are you from?
I'm at the Intelligence Unit, so I manage the Crime Stoppers unit within Victoria Police.
Oh, fantastic. We've got some stories to tell actually about Crime Stoppers because that's how the Glow Show originated many years ago with a connection through Crime Stoppers. So remind me to mention that.
There you go.
And we've also got Ange Vescovi. Ange, where are you from?
I'm from the Applicant Attraction Team. Within the Victoria Police's Human Resources Department.
To attract applicants to the force.
Correct.
Do we call it the force? Is that appropriate?
We call it the police force, yes.
Okay, yep, cool. Yep. Just like to get my language right off the bat. Well, so how were you recruited, for example, Gabby?
Well, I'm a little bit of a different story because I joined New South Wales Police before I came to Victoria Police. So no one really tried to attract me to New South Wales Police. I was watching one of the police shows on TV. I think it wasn't The Bill.
Cagney and Lacey.
No, it wasn't actually. It was it was the one set in Boston or something. It was real dingy in the...
The Wire.
No, before The Wire. So it was 15, 16 years ago. I can't remember which one it was, but I loved the police shows. And someone said to me, I didn't know what I wanted to do as a career. I'd finished uni. I was working in some job I didn't like. And someone said, why don't you join the police? And the rest is history. I said, yeah, why not? And all because of a TV show.
Great.
So that's a great story, isn't it?
It's actually a good story. I'd be interested in the stats of how many cops come to the... Can I say cops? Is that appropriate language? Yeah. How many cops come to the police force via TV?
Well, I think you've got two for two here.
Yeah. Right.
Blue Heelers is what's did what did it for me.
Oh, my God.
I'm Water Rats. You know,
oh,
Goldie.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't think we have water rats. Do we have water rats? We do?
Yeah.
Water police?
Water police? We don't call them water rats.
Obviously.
They're water police.
That would be inappropriate. Angie's nodding vigorously. Now, you're not an enlisted member of the force. Or what was the term you used?
I'm unsworn.
Unsworn.
Yep. So the PSO role and the police roles, they're both sworn positions. And then you've got the police custody officers and the VPS, Victorian Public Servants, which I am one of. And those two roles are unsworn.
So did you come to Victoria Police through the Victorian Public Service?
Correct.
And then just sort of...
Yeah, there's a range of different people with recruiting, marketing, IT, legal, all sorts of different backgrounds.
Just to be clear, you do not carry a weapon
for
that role.
Yep.
Or wear a uniform.
Or wear a uniform.
That's true. And just explain loosely your role.
Okay, well, at the moment, Victoria Police has a target to recruit more than 3,000 police officers by 2020, plus additional PSOs, plus additional PCOs.
So, can you just get just for the rest of us that don't understand those acronyms, I'm across it, of course. Mm-hmm. What is a PSO and a PCO?
So a Protective Services Officer. They're police officers that work at train stations.
Okay.
So they receive pretty similar amounts of self-defence and weapons training, but they do 12 weeks at the academy versus police who do 31.
Do they carry a weapon on the stations?
They do. Yeah.
Is it a firearm?
It is a firearm, so it's the same weapons training.
Do we still carry the truncheon?
No, not really. Not for general duties police, no. Maybe a couple of the specialists might have access to them, but no.
No, we have the batons that are quite small, and when we flick them, they extend.
Oh, okay. I call that a truncheon. Go on, change with your role.
And police custody officers, that's a relatively new role as well, like the PSO role, and they assist police officers at police stations to pretty much manage people in custody.
Okay. So in terms of recruiting to Victoria Police, if I wanted to be an officer, and I don't, would I apply for a specific role, or would I present myself to you and then have you determine what role I would suit?
You would apply for one of those four specific roles and just say you were coming in for the police role. The recruitment process is taking anywhere between sort of 6 to 9 months to get through, and then you've got your 31 weeks at the academy. Once you've been in the role for a minimum of 2 to 4 years, a general duties police officer role, then you can look to specialise in one of the many, many different specialisations, water police being one.
But I don't have to specialise to be a transport cop?
No, PSOs.
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 Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they have different roles.
I can see that, yeah. But you don't, even though you're carrying a firearm on the railway station, for example, do you have to go through the regular police training? Or is it you specialise straight from the outset in the role you want?
Specialise straight from the outset, 12 weeks, a dedicated PSO program compared to the 31 weeks of police.
Okay.
Yeah, so the PSOs have somewhat similar powers to the other police, but less powers because their powers are restricted to a certain area that would be around the train station that they work at.
Hmm, interesting. Chris, what's your ideal police officer? What are you looking for in a Victoria Police member?
So it's really varied. As part of my role, I work at, as I said before, Intel. We can sit on panels to assist Ange's department in terms of recruitment. They need to get the sworn perspective from members that are working at the various workplaces. So quite often I will sit on recruit panel interviews, and really I've got an open mind. So we're looking for young people, we're looking for older people, and everything and anything in between. So we're always looking for a diverse workforce.
So how old is too old? Because presumably there's a level of a base level of fitness and...
Yeah, correct. Look, Ange might be best set to answer that question, but I don't really know.
Yeah, there's no age restriction. Yeah. So I could
literally join the police force.
Well, you just need to be 18 with your VC or VCAL. If you're over
that.
21, you don't need it.
I've been trying to get you to join.
I already look like a cop. I might as well do it.
You want to be.
So as long as you can pass a fitness test. For example, we've had a female come in.
Yeah.
Just recently, she applied at 54 and... she got through the process really easily. She wanted to be a cop when she was 21, but she ended up having 3 kids and it never sort of worked out for her. And then a couple of years back, she thought now's the time and she's doing fabulously.
Yeah, she'd be the Cagney and Lacey intake, I reckon. But it'd be good to go through what do you call the place where they all... study the academy. Go through the academy graduating years and assign them to a particular show that would have attracted them, and she'd absolutely be a Cagney and Lacey intake, I'd say.
It's interesting because people who are older and have had more life experience, it's often when you're policing and you're dealing with a variety of different kind of people and different situations, it's the ability of communication and being able to link in with that person and connect with that person that can diffuse a situation. So the older you are and the better you are at communication skills, which you tend to be as you're getting older and older, mm-hmm. you get better at that, can assist with the way you police. So that's why people of an older age, as long as they can pass all the fitness tests and the exams, they're really welcome because they do have that experience that assists with the job, I guess.
Yeah. And in much the same way as Victoria Police has the GLOW program, I imagine that policing people of varying ethnic and racial backgrounds is important to have some, if not origin from those places, then at least some sympathy with them. So what is the demographic breakdown of Victoria Police in terms of that? And is there a particular social or racial or ethnic group or religious group that you're trying to promote into the force more in terms of recruitment? And I'll ask you that.
Sure. So our policy, Victoria Police's policy, is to grow a force that's representative of the diversity of our community, because we believe we'll do a better job when that happens. So in a few different areas, we've got diversity of gender, age, culture, religion, sexual orientation. So in a few of those areas, we're a little bit behind in terms of the percentage representing the community, and that's where we're placing our efforts. So certainly in terms of gender ratio, 50-50, we're not quite there yet.
What is the female ratio?
It varies, sort of sitting around that 30% mark.
Okay. That's more than I would have thought. So that's probably on the right track.
Just depends on how many people are in process at any one time, but it's certainly our ambition to grow that.
But it's also like our Cagney and Lacey example. I imagine that given that child rearing is a part of the experience, a lot of women maybe would think to join the force and then get sidetracked. Do you have much recidivism? Do you have a lot of people that were in the force and then leave for a period of time?
We do have that instances of that, but I think you'll see that policy change over recent years is sort of moving in more towards that flexible working arrangements wherever the officer is based. If that station can accommodate, due to their needs, there's requests for flexible working arrangements across the board. board.
I'm sure nobody can control a 14-year-old hooligan like a mother of a 14-year-old hooligan.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So carry on with the so is one of the approaches that you're taking towards evening up that playing field using a quota system, or are you simply trying to attract people in from various groups?
No quota system. We've just got specific teams that are focusing on specific areas, culturally, religious, sexual orientation and gender and age. So we've got groups who are working on, you know, reaching out to those diverse groups and making it easier for them to come in.
And how do you actually reach out specifically to, for example, a group of African boys in a housing commission? Like, what's the outreach there?
Our members do a really good job of that. So we might have a regional area or a police station that has a particular need with a community group, and that that inspector or senior sergeant will reach out to us and say, hey, we want to run a session for this particular community group. Can you come along? And we'll have a member who's representative of that group so that they can tell their stories about, you know, what they've experience. But certainly the focus is suitability for the role. That's number one. So there's no it's a standard playing field, but we do have our sights set on growing that diversity across the board.
Chris, do we have police clubs in Victoria like they do in New South Wales and certainly in New York City and places like that? I know that in New South Wales that's a big recruitment bed, isn't it? Like the police and boys, it used to be called the police and boys club, like social sporting clubs where the police would interact with the youth.
Yeah, there are. There's lots of different platforms out in the regions where that happens, and you've got people, community liaison officers and proactive police that work out at specific stations and regions that go out and target those types of clubs. So as Ange said before, there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes, trying to attract those people from different backgrounds and different kind of minority groups.
What was your pathway to intelligence? And I ask that in a way, a professional sense, you see.
Yeah. Look, my pathway throughout the whole of my journey within Big Pol has always been very unexpected. There's just so many options within the organisation to go to. I never expected to kind of have gone on the journey from being a detective to being a sergeant at uniform stations to working at the media and corporate communications department to now in an intelligence area. So it's a fantastic job, and, you know, a reason why I'm passionate about recruiting is because it is such a fantastic employer that offers so many opportunities to people.
So if I was the mother of a 17-year-old boy and I'm thinking I don't want Johnny to be a cop because he's going to be in danger, is it still a good career path in terms of can you actively find a role for yourself that is not in harm's way in that way?
100%. So one point I'd like to make really clear is that everybody does do those first 2 to say 4 years on the beat, the general duties policing. But once you've done your time on the beat, there are so many different avenues and options that you can go, whether it's a prosecutor at court all day, whether you want to be a detective investigating the more complex crimes. You know, there are just so many options. So if that frontline policing on the beat isn't your cup of tea, plenty of options.
So, Gabby, if there's an LGBTI identifying person listening to your podcast today, and what would you, and they're passionate about, they may be past Kagan and Lacey, but perhaps they're onto, I don't even know what the current cop show is.
Neither do I.
No,
see, what about Wentworth?
So past it. There. That's a prison joke.
I know. Well, but all the people in prison have dealt with police.
How come the prison guards don't have their own show on Joy? Anyway, we'll get to that later.
We'll do that later.
But what would your advice to LGBTI identifying people be in terms of how do they find out more, and is it a good career for somebody?
If you're interested in a diverse job, an exciting job where every day is something different, this is a really good career for you. We've done a lot of work at the Police Academy to ensure that once you join, that you've got support there. We've got an LGBTI student network that's been going there for probably 18 months. We've also got a support network, an employee network in the job. But once you leave the academy and you start working in your station somewhere, so there's support for you. Doesn't matter what kind of community you come from, it's a great career, and there's a hell of a lot of LGBTI people within Victoria Police, and we've been here since the beginning when Victoria Police started in 18 and I should know this 18-something.
You get back to us on that, Gabby.
I will. But, yeah, I mean, there's no reason to think, oh, my God, I'm going to be discriminated against or it's not a safe environment for me. I'm living proof of that.
There is a rumour going around that if you graduate from the academy that you have to take the posting, regional posting, that you, you're allocated. Is that true?
So during the first 2 years, you, from my understanding, you get matched somewhere that's quite close, you know, within a reasonable commute from your home. At the two-year mark, you get put into the ballot, which Ange might be able to expand
on. When you first come out of the academy, you are assigned a designated training station, and we try to assign that station close to your home. And then after that period, everybody is subject to the ballot, and the ballot feels hard to fill locations, not just regionally, but in the metro regions as well. So there are exclusions. Some people have certain family circumstances or something that might exclude them from the ballot, but everybody has to be prepared for that ballot to go somewhere for a two-year period, and then they get what's called a free kick to come back at their preferred location. But not everybody goes through the ballot. You just need to be prepared that if you are the one who's selected in the ballot, that you will need to go, but not everybody goes through it.
Do tell me that they draw the ballot out of an enormous barrel, little balls.
Well, they try to match people, don't they?
With a barrel girl.
They ask for people to, they will say, we need people in this location. Mm-hmm. Can people nominate themselves? And so they try to fill it that way. But if they can't fill it that way, that's when they basically almost like draw it out of a hat.
Correct.
I think it's great. So where do I go if I want to find out how to be a police officer in Victoria Police?
You should go to www.policecareer.vic.gov.au. We've got all the information on the different roles available, on the recruitment process, and you do your application online.
That's fantastic. I will consider it.
So I will see you there next week, Dee?
Yes, I'll just work on my fitness. Thank you. Detective Sergeant Chris Hamilton, Ange Vescovi, and, of course, leading Senior Constable Gabrielle Tyack from Victoria Police. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Of course, you can email Gabby at
theglowshow@joy.org.au.
Right off the tip of your tongue.
I know everything.
Thanks again. You've been on Joy 94.9. I'm Dee Mason. That there's Gabrielle Tyacki. Tyack!
Jeez.
See you next time.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/theglowshow to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.